and welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan, because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. Thanks for sticking with me during my unplanned two-week break. My job and my mental health took priority, and I just needed the break, but I'm back now, so thanks. It's been an especially shitty week in the U.S. this week. It is June 26, 2022. But I have a conversation with Kevin Von Esper, and it's super fun this week, especially if you love cheesy 80s horror movies, and specifically the actor named Doogie Flyswatter, who's known for movies like Blood Diner, Surf Nazis Must Die, and Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers. Kevin is in the process of making a documentary about Doogie, so we chatted all about that, as well as what the process has been like, and who Doogie is. We also chatted about how he got into horror and his opinions on the remakes and reboots of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Halloween franchises. One last thing before we get into this episode, if you love the show and haven't left us a review on iTunes and Spotify yet, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated, as it really helps people to find us. I think I've rambled enough, so let's get into this episode with Kevin Von Esper. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hey, how's it going? Wait, I forgot my props.
What is that an eye from?
That is a Doogie Flyswatter's eyeball from the cover of a CD from a band called The Ads, ADZ, which is, if you know anything about punk rock, it was Tony from the Adolescents band later on. Yeah, and this is a photo of Doogie Flyswatter's eye as photographed by legendary punk photographer Edward Culver, and attached to it, because I know people are probably listening and not watching this, is a rat trap that was actually stage used. And if you know anything about Doogie Flyswatter, he's known for putting rat traps on his face.
All right.
Because that is his real eye.
Oh, no makeup. Yeah, that is crazy. You will have to tell me more about Doogie Flyswatter
yes.
later. But thanks for being here. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thank you for having me. My name is Kevin Von Esper. I am a 38-year-old musician, video editor, photographer, all those things. I'm from in the New York City area. And, you know, my business used to be filming lots of concerts and parties and doing photo shoots and all this fun stuff. But because of the pandemic and people stopped gathering for a while, I redirected my efforts and started a documentary about Doogie Flyswatter and his band, The Haunted Garage. And so I guess that's what I do now. I'm a documentary filmmaker now.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. So we will get into that a little bit later. But first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
Yeah, I know you asked this one. Well, because of the way you phrase it, I'm going to have to say Scream. But I would say parallel to that, besides that one being very instrumental in my upbringing, I would also have to say Blair Witch Project, because I was the perfect age for that. I was like, I don't know, 12 or 13 when that came out. And I saw it when it was only in two theaters in the whole United States before it was nationally released. So they had like the display cases in the theater with like the stick men and the film canisters. Like, it was as real as it seems already, that just made it even more real. So it was really cool. And because of its DIY nature, like, that definitely influences me as a DIY artist, because they did that with practically nothing. And that's kind of what I do with all the things I do. I make stuff from nothing. And that was in New York City.
Oh, cool.
I forget what theater it is, but I'm sure I could look it up.
Is that like the Angelical?
It might very well be. That's what's on the tip of my tongue, but I was like too young to really soak in that kind of thing back then.
Yeah.
So probably.
Yeah. Very cool. How did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
Well, that's hard to say, because I had an older brother, so I kind of always just grew up around him loving Freddy Krueger and, you know, Jason and stuff like that. And of course, he worked at a movie theater when Scream came out. When did Scream came out? I know you're a big fan, right?
96.
Yeah. Well, I was 12 when that came out, and I got to see it in the theater because he worked at the movie theater. So he snuck, I got to sneak into any movie I wanted. And that's probably the first horror movie I remember really watching, like big release, big screen. So I'm gonna have to go with that one. And then what else got me into horror is probably just, which we'll get into later, the topic of my documentary is involved in a lot of B horror movies from the 80s and early 90s. And so that got me into a whole different subgenre of horror that, it's a whole different world that I also live in.
Very cool. So, why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
Are we all sane? Yeah, we're okay, I guess. I guess you have to be well adjusted to enjoy such trauma. I don't know. That sounds pretty brilliant, though, right?
It does. It does sound good. I don't think anyone has ever said that
Yes,
before.
I'm going with that one.
Yes. What is your favorite subgenre in horror?
Well, I'm gonna have to say those B horror movies from the 80s, just because they're just so, I don't know, a product of their time, I guess you would say. You can, even though people still try to replicate it all the time, it's kind of in vogue now to be retro. There, you can never make a movie like that ever again. And especially on film, they still shot on film, you know?
Yeah. What are your top three favorite B80s horror movies?
Oh boy. Well, let's see. I got my props. You want to see my props?
Yes.
I'm gonna go with these three. Blood Diner. Have you ever seen Blood Diner?
I have not, but the Horror Virgin covered it once and it was
Yeah.
sounded fucking crazy.
Yeah. Dookie Fleischwater wrote this one, and it's just bizarre. I mean, these movies, if you can even call them horror, that you would find them in the horror section, but really they're comedies, you know? So they're comedies with lots of blood and some nudity, you know, that kind of
Yeah.
thing. And the other one, another one, I would say Nightmare Sisters. You know this one?
Nope.
This is, it looked, yeah, as you can tell, it's not that horrific, right? But it's about these three dorky, like, college women kind of have a seance and get possessed and become succubuses. And
Okay.
hijinks ensues. Trust me. And then, oh God, what else should I pick? How about this one? Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers.
I think I've heard of that one before, but I've never seen it, and I love that you
Yeah.
have it on VHS.
Oh yeah. And I gotta clarify always that I know it's really cool now to collect VHS tapes, because there's, I just find like tons of Instagram accounts that are just people
Yeah.
posting their VHS tapes collections. Now, when I bought these on VHS, that's because it was the only way you could actually find these movies back in the 90s, you know? So it's not that I collected VHS, but I have amassed a collection because of the circumstances in which I was pursuing these movies. These all kind of live in the same universe of B movie directors from the 80s, and are really, these movies like Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers, they're always on the top of the retro VHS era, like horror, I don't know, lists, if you would say, just like you're always seeing people talk about them and post about them. And who knew in 1987 that like people in 2022 would just be going bonkers over Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers? That's what I love most about them, is like their longevity. This one actually is pretty good. Some of these movies are really not that good, but are fun to watch. This one lives up. This is another one that's definitely more of a comedy, and it's actually kind of a parody of noir. So I recommend watching it in black and white for best effects. But it's significant for star, or not starring, featuring Gunnar Hansen, who you would know as the original Leatherface. So of course that is another play on the joke, Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers instead of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And you can really tell from watching this movie, although I don't want to speak ill of the dead, RIP, Gunnar Hansen. I heard he was a wonderful guy. And my co-producer is actually working on a documentary about him called Dinner with Leatherface. But you can really find out from watching this movie why it's better he never talked in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, all right. Well, I will have to check those out. I do want to check out
Yes.
Blood Diner because when
Yeah,
I
that's a
listened to the
classic.
Horror Virgin talk about it, it was just
I highly
bonkers.
recommend it.
So,
That's written by Dookie Fleischwater and directed by Jackie Kong.
Awesome.
And the fun fact about that one, like the two leads are these like really kind of good looking young guys, but in the original script, they were supposed to be kind of like these horrifying older guys, and they were supposed to be cast by, what's his name? The Animal Steel, the wrestler. George the Animal Steel, he's like a wrestler from the 80s, I guess. And Michael Berryman from The Hills Have Eyes.
I've never seen The Hills Have Eyes. I've heard it's pretty
Really?
intense, so.
But don't you love Wes Craven?
I mean, I
That's a Wes
do,
Craven
but
one.
I
That
know,
one's
but
a
I hear
little
it's a little intense.
intense.
Yeah, I
It
hear
is
it's
a little,
intense.
it's not as intense as Last House on the Left, but
Yeah.
you know, it's more intense than Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, someday I'll get there.
What are your three favorite horror movies?
The Ring, Scream, and Cloverfield.
Oh, we can live in that universe together too. I love Cloverfield. I should have said Cloverfield. I'm changing my answer. Cloverfield's definitely one of my favorite movies. And I'm pissed that I missed that in theaters because it looked so dumb to me at the time. And then when I discovered it finally, I was like, this is fucking amazing. And then I've fallen deep, deep into the Cloververse holes and like all the ARG games. And like I follow all that stuff very closely. And that I recommend that for anyone who's a fan or not a fan yet of that universe, watch it with the whole world in mind because it's much more than just a movie or a series of movies.
Yeah, definitely. I saw the original Cloverfield in the AMC that is up the block from the Time Warner Center. So
Okay.
I was like,
Oh
oh,
man.
yeah.
Yeah. I think I watched a bad bootleg copy downloaded from Napster or something. Like it was not a good introduction, but I've definitely, don't worry, I bought the movie like so many times at this point. You got your money, studio. Make another one. I know you've been promising us a legit sequel.
Oh God,
Oh
that would
no,
be
Matt
so
Reeves though,
good.
he's been a little busy doing the Batman thing, so whatever.
Ugh.
You didn't like the Batman?
I did not like the Batman. I did not need to be there for 3 hours.
Yeah, that was my biggest gripe about the Batman was the length. And I also was really trying to catch up on my movies that day, so I saw it after watching Spider-Man. So I went to two movies. I was like, I'm already here. I might as well see the Batman too. And I knew it was going to be 3 hours, but boy, did it feel like it too.
Oh yeah, it
I
was.
didn't think it was a bad movie, and I really need to watch it again. I owe it that much. I owe Matt Reeves, the director of Cloverfield, that. But yeah, no superhero movie needs to be more than 90 minutes. That's
Right,
ridiculous.
they're all the
Where is the
same.
art? See, you know what I love about these B horror movies from the 80s? They were so low budget that they were mostly like around 75, 80 minutes. Like they're quick watches, and they used every second of film that they filmed on those things because that's all they had available, I'm sure. One takes.
So who are your favorite horror directors?
Oh, well, again, I don't know if you count any of these guys as horror directors, but Fred Olen Ray and David DeCota, you got to give them credit for making these crazy movies that we're talking about. I guess Wes Craven, even though I'm not as well versed in his entire catalog of movies as I should be, but the ones that I love so much are so significant to me that I think he deserves that credit. Again, another person I should probably dig a little deeper on, but I want to give credit to is the director of this movie that has Dookie Fly-Swatter in it, Clive Barker. Of course, wrote the Hellraiser original novel and directed the original movie. And this is a movie called Lord of Illusions. I like Hellraiser a lot better. This is fun, but it's not quite Hellraiser. But fun fact, Clive Barker does own a nude painting of Dookie Fly-Swatter. So I just throwing that out there in the audience.
How did you find that out?
Well, I'm supposed to interview the person who painted it. I don't know. It's just kind of like a well-known fact around the people who know him,
Oh,
you
okay.
know.
That's
And I've seen
interesting.
the painting too, not in person, but I've seen a picture of it. Yeah,
Interesting.
that'll be a whole separate section of the documentary. That section might go to the Hump Film Festival. Do you know what
Awesome.
that is?
I
That's
don't. What is that?
Dan Savage's Porn Film Short
Oh.
Festival.
Oh, I did not know that that
Yeah.
existed. But
yeah,
so like you said, you're making a documentary about the Bee horror star Dookie Flyswatter and his splatter band Haunted Garage, and yes. You currently have a campaign on Indiegogo to raise funds for it. Yes. So tell me all about that, and tell me who Dookie Flyswatter is, because I have no idea.
Oh boy, well then you're my target audience, because this story is for the people who don't know who he is. Because if you do know who he is, you're probably already in this thing. You know, I'm calling this the Tiger King of Shudder, because everyone always asks me, why are you going to make a documentary about someone no one's ever heard of? And it's exactly because you should have heard of this guy already. And you may not know who he is, but I bet you anything that you've seen him or one of his band members in a movie before. Even if, you know, because when they weren't doing their own thing, just to make money in that time period, they would just be extras in movies. And some of them ended up in some very prominent A-list movies, you know, The Bodyguard, Terminator 2, Kindergarten Cop, The Mask. Like, you'll see members of this band and their entourage just like hanging out. If you see punkers in the 80s and 90s in a movie, they might be one of the Haunted Garage guys. So Dookie Flyswatter is this Hollywood weirdo, former writer of B-movies, actor in B-movies. And I think his movie career, it's safe to say, is very tightly intertwined with his film career, because I've uncovered songs that never got released that they actually wrote for these movies. The whole concept of the band when they started in 1985 was that they were covering bad songs from bad movies, and mostly from like the 50s and 60s. And they weren't even like very punk rock or heavy metal yet. They were just kind of like this bluesy garage band. They would play the theme song from The Green Slime or Mothra or The Blob, which was actually written by Burt Bacharach, you know, or like the theme song from Satan's Sadist, like the Bugger movie, which Glenn Danzig would later cover in more recent years. So who was on the forefront of that Haunted Garage? Yeah, and he was in all these wonderful movies that I mentioned before. And eventually in 1991, they put out their one album of that era called Possession Park, which has what I think is the best album cover of all time.
It's very cool.
These two zombie girls on a roller coaster made of bones going into the mouth of Satan, while flames with faces on them are engulfing the area and people are hanging from balloons. So, I mean, how can you go wrong with that? And here's a picture of the band all being dead, if you can imagine that. You know, there's got Dookie Flyswatter, the ringleader. You got this crazy biker looking dude, like a surfer dude. We got this guitar player is a drag queen. You know, like they all had these larger than life personalities. And the best part about them that puts them apart from other bands of their theatrical like is that this was just like really who they were. Of course, like projected onto a stage a little bit bigger, but that's what made it scary. It was like, these are just like real dudes in front of you. And they put on a horror show, not really like a storyline, like a band like Gwar would do, but more like a sideshow, freak show kind of thing. And they had all these friends, special effects and makeup artists that they were friends with from their B movies. Now they're A-list guys, but back then they were just these hungry young special effects guys, and they would rig up like gags for their show and create blood cannons for them and, you know, recycle props from B movies like Return of the Living Dead or The Brain and Chud 2, or you can see on the back of this, these mannequin legs and pieces mm-hmm. were allegedly taken from a dumpster after an Alice Cooper tour wrapped up. So any kind of weird stuff they could find, you know, they would use it in the show. And sometimes you don't know what's going to be real. You don't know what's going to be fake. You might get hit with the blood cannons or like have a two-headed transplant guy jumping into the audience. Or you might see mouse traps all over Dookie's body, or you might see him pierce himself or something like that. Or set his arms on fire, do a fire stunt. Like, you never knew what you were going to get. And that's what made it exciting and scary. Just to be clear, everything they did was very professional and safe, even though it looks crazy on stage. It was just like being on the set of a movie with professionals, you know.
Very cool. Did you ever get to see them perform? I don't know how long they toured for.
Yeah, so the original incarnation broke up in 1992 when I was 8 and living on the East Coast while they were all Hollywood guys. So no, I didn't get to see that. I was a little too young. I got into them like right after they broke up. But in 2008, they did a reunion show. It was two of the original guys and some extra, you know, not the whole original lineup. But I actually had just been not fired. I was let go from my job because they were a startup company, not because of anything I did, but just because they were downsizing. Eventually, they got down to one person. So, you know, it was going to happen eventually. And I bought my ticket that day to go see the reunion show of Haunted Garage. And that's when I first got to see them. And not only did I see them, I hung out with Dookie. Like I went to see them get their makeup done at his house. And we went to Denny's with a bunch of people afterwards. And they chainsawed me open on stage.
Wow.
Yeah, so I got the full experience. And I was like, I don't know, 24 or 23 or something like that. And then I only got to see them one other time, and that was this past summer when I was in LA filming for this project. I convinced them to do one last performance while I was there. So I saw their last show and I got to film it for my documentary.
That's amazing. Stepping back a little bit, how did you first come across them?
Right. So have you ever heard of this band, Green Jello?
No, I have not.
Have you ever heard the song Three Little Pigs from the 90s? No. Oh, it's like one of the best music videos of all time. It's a claymation video. It was like the most played video on MTV like in 1993. Definitely check it out. I discovered them in like 1992 or 3, which was just at the end of the grunge era. You know, this was like when Kurt Cobain had just died. And so that was kind of like my first love, that bands like Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins. And then I discovered Green Jello, who were strangely very popular at the time. Members of this band at the time are now in bands like Tool, knocking Taylor Swift off the number one spot on the Billboard charts. Thank you very much. Little did I know, though, that there was this video. They were the world's first video-only band before they were so popular that they just had to put out a soundtrack. Because they always said that they were the worst band of all time and nobody would actually want to listen to it without seeing the stupid visuals. They, you know, they dress up in stupid costumes and stuff like that. Anyway, there's a video for a song called The Misadventures of Shitman, where that was the first time I ever saw Dookie Flyswatter, although I didn't know it at the time. He was just a guy in a video. But being that the internet was pretty new at the time and they were like, oh, if you like this stupid band that puts stupid shit on their heads, you're probably going to like Gwar. And I sure did. And you're probably a little bit more familiar with them, right? I mean,
nope.
At all? Do you know?
Not at all.
Have you ever seen Gwar?
Nope.
Oh, my God. Let me blow your mind all kinds of ways today. Gwar, how do I say this quickly? They've been around for almost 40 years now. Consistently, they never broke up. They've had some deaths in the band, but they still continue. They are the world's first openly extraterrestrial band. So they're these space aliens from that were created by the master of all reality as a part of a legion of gods of war. But they were like, couldn't get anything right, so they banished them to the worst place in the galaxy, which was Earth. And there they did a bunch of crazy stuff and created the human race, and then were frozen in Antarctica until the mid-80s when all the hairspray from the hair bands opened the ozone layer and they got unfrozen. And instead of taking over the world like they had originally planned, they got too distracted by drugs and rock and roll and became a rock and roll band, Gwar. Who are back on tour this summer. I can't wait to see it. They're really like the theatrical rock band that really made it of that kind of, you know, if you're not Kiss, you're Gwar, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's such an interesting backstory.
Yeah, I don't, like, I can't, like, I could do a whole another show just about guar. I have a my guar cave over here just filled with, there's toys, there's action figures, they've made movies, they've been nominated for Grammys,
Oh,
like
wow.
everything. Yeah, like they're kind of a big deal. Their lead singer was a interplanetary correspondent on Fox News for a while, if you can believe that. Like they were on the Jerry Springer show. This has become
Wow.
the guar show, but yeah, that's a wormhole that's definitely worth getting into. But anyways, getting back to my point, the next band the internet told me, well, if you like these two stupid bands that put stupid shit on their heads, you're gonna love Haunted Garage. And boy did I. So I discovered them when I was maybe like 10 years old, and by the next year I had started the internet's first Haunted Garage fan page.
Oh, fun.
Because there was not, you know, those other bands were still active, so it was easy to kind of find information about them. Haunted Garage was always a little bit more mysterious, so I've always been on a quest for information about them, even since I was 11 years old. And now it's just the perfect marriage of my professional life and my, you know, passions in life.
That's
I think
cool.
That answered your question in a very roundabout way.
Yeah, no, that definitely answered my question.
And all those bands I'm talking about were like friends, and like they were kind of doing similar things, but they started in different places. You know,
yeah.
Green Jello settled in Hollywood, but was originally from Buffalo, New York. Haunted Garage is from Hollywood, and guar is from Richmond, Virginia. And you know what? I'll send you the current lead singer of guar is actually a professor of music, and he did a TED talk about them. So I'll send
oh, cool.
you that. That's like a good place to start. Academia.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So how can people find out more about your documentary and donate to the fundraiser?
Right. The important stuff. I have launched a trailer and a campaign, emphasis on the pain, on indie gore is what I'm calling it. I am a broke DIY artist, and this is a grassroots passion project. So I need all the help I can get. I've already gone to LA and filmed over 40 interviews, so I have a good head start, but I can only go so far on my own budget. So you can find everything collectively at dukeydoc.com. That's DUKEYDOC.com, and I gotta spell it out so people don't search it like the Green Day album, which is a different spelling of Dookie. So don't do that. It won't get you anywhere. And you can find everything there. I'm at Dookie Doc on Instagram. I'm easy to find, and Twitter, although I hate Twitter, so I don't really hang out there. I'm really on Instagram and Facebook. We have a group called the Life and Slimes of Dookie Flyswatter and Haunted Garage, which the cool thing about that is that it's not just me. It's like old members of the band and other and fans throughout the ages are all posting pictures and old flyers all the time. And it's the only reason to stay on Facebook.
That's very cool. I will leave links to all of those in
Thank
the show notes. Yeah.
Did you get to check out the trailer?
I did. I watched it.
What did you think about it as someone who's totally on the outside?
It looks interesting. So it's very interesting,
I'll take
especially
it.
Since I have no idea about Dookie Flyswatter at all. So
and most people don't, so don't feel bad about it.
No.
But I bet you've seen him before, you just didn't know it.
Probably. Yeah, you're probably right. So an article came out in 2020 that said that horror movie fans were handling lockdown better than non-horror fans. Why do you think that was the case?
You know, I heard you ask people this and I thought about it, and I think it's because we have the best movie collection to fall back into, you know. I'm like, all the horror fans seem to be the collectors, so we're just like, finally we get time to sit back and watch our backlog, right?
Yeah. Awesome.
I think that's why.
Yeah,
we were prepared by buying too much stuff.
Yes, I definitely bought a lot of DVDs during the pandemic because I had actually
buying
stopped
a lot
buying them
now. Yeah. Now that I'm like back in the sort of community and just like watching everybody else collect, I'm like, I gotta buy more stuff too.
Oh, consumerism.
Or like update my collection to Blu-rays or whatever, you know.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be updating to Blu-rays. I have some Blu-rays, but I like my DVDs. So
yeah, I mean, it's just amazing to me that a good number of Dookie's movies are actually on Blu-ray. Like Even though these movies are like so zany and crazy, they've lasted through the fandom long, strong enough to warrant actually releasing, 2K scans, like beautiful Blu-rays of these stupid movies.
Yeah.
And I think that's just amazing, like how much care these boutique labels put into movies that you'd never think anyone would ever care about,
That's very
I
cool.
love that.
Yeah.
You got to support.
Totally. How do you decide what to watch when you're looking for a horror movie to watch?
I guess it depends on my mood. Sometimes I want to check out something new, and sometimes I want something from a certain era. I guess I would go from there and then probably waste a half an hour and then decide something else altogether. But that's where I would go. And then, or like now, shows like Joe Bob are starting back up. So I'll probably just watch whatever he throws up there as well.
Very cool. I've never watched anything with Joe Bob before.
Oh, it's
So,
fun. Well,
yeah.
he's watched a bunch of these movies, some of these
Nice.
movies. The Sorority Babes and the Slimeball Ball-O-Rama is definitely one of his favorites.
That sounds like a movie that's perfectly up my alley. So I'll check
Yes.
that
Dookie
out.
Flyswatter is the voice of the imp. And it has the big three scream queens of the 80s in
Oh, cool. What are your
it.
comfort horror movies?
Oh, these for sure. All
Okay.
these stupid movies. Just because that was the first movies that I actually collected. So I'm just used to like probably falling asleep to them on VHS back in the 90s.
Oh.
Yeah, so B horror movies from the 80s for sure.
Yeah. Are there any horror movies that you will watch or that you won't watch ever again?
Probably, but not, I don't know, for any specific reason other than just lack of interest. I guess I know I've heard you talk about like some of these torture porn movies and stuff like that, right? I'm not necessarily into that either, but I don't think that's the reason I wouldn't watch them. It's probably just because there's so much new stuff to discover, whether it's actually new or old stuff that I've never seen before, that why would you waste your time going back to something you were kind of lukewarm on, unless you're with someone who's passionate about it that you can share that energy with. Yeah, just watch something new instead.
Totally. Have you started going back to the movie theater yet to see movies?
Yeah, I think the first movie I saw back was, what's that one where everyone has to be quiet the whole
A
time? A
Quiet
Quiet
Place
Place.
too.
Yeah, the number two. It was fun. Like, I just thought that would be an exciting thing to see in the movie theater. And then I usually see the Marvel movies, and I saw the Batman and I saw Scream.
Nice. What did you
Yeah.
think of Scream 5?
I didn't really like it very much. I
No.
know we should have this discussion because I know I've been listening to your podcast about the Scream movies, and everyone on your podcast seems to really like this one. Maybe I need to watch it again, and I will, but I don't know. It just didn't do it for me. Why
Why
did you
not?
love it?
Why
I
didn't you like
think
it?
it was like a little too serious. Like there was too many serious, slow conversations, and like the whole vibe of Scream is really that it's fun, I think. Like it makes you think, and it's still scary, but it's fun. It's like a high school movie, and there was zero scenes in a high school in this one, and for a movie that's trying to like replicate, I guess, the first one, but spoiler alert, I guess, if you haven't seen it, what the fuck are you doing? How they end up back at the house at the end and all those
Yeah.
parallels. It's like no scenes at school. What's with all the hospitals, man? Like that's
They
just not fun.
had that one scene where they're outside the high school.
Yeah, not
That was
enough.
supposed to be like a parallel to the first scene
Yeah.
outside the high school in the first movie, I think.
Right. I
Maybe.
guess just too many scenes with adults. I don't know. Like too many serious conversations as if these people don't talk to each other on Facebook or on, maybe they're off the grid, but like, come
Yeah.
on, really? All these slow, serious conversations. And then not just that, but like, I feel like it's become the movie that it was parodying in the first place. And maybe that's the point that I'm missing. But like Elm Street, this character named Wes, it's like, yeah, we get it. Wes Craven was the director, but like now you're kind of, I don't know, it's just a different, it was a different vibe than I expected, I guess. And not in a way, not that I wouldn't welcome that if it was done well. Like, I have definitely some ideas of what could have been a real requel, or, you know, I just can't believe they continued the storyline so directly from number four. I thought they were just going to skip that one completely, you know, like, you don't have to watch that one. Not saying it's not canon, but like, I don't think anyone really agrees that, like, you need to see Scream 4 at all. Scream 1, 2, 3, like, those tell a very tight story, I think. And then beyond that, like, why are you adding to it? You know, either create a new story or make it even more meta where the characters are playing themselves filming a Scream movie or something like that. Like, that's, you know, we need to take it even further back. And I don't feel like they did that. They just like made every character is like related to another character. It's like, how realistic is that? I don't know. I just didn't buy it. I need to watch it again, but why did you love it?
I loved it for the reasons that you hated it. I loved it. Really? It just was serious and it was dark. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's why I liked it.
I think
it felt like the first movie again.
Yeah, I think darkness needs to be paralleled with levity, and there wasn't enough balance for me.
All right.
But well, you know what? The next one's going to come out and I'm going to be there opening night like a fanboy anyways. So whatever, you still got my money.
Yeah, just take my money. It's fine.
Yeah. And but like, do we need, like, Nev Campbell does not need to be the main character anymore. Like, just put her in the background somewhere. Like,
well, she wasn't really the main character this time.
Sort
she
of.
Came
but
in
like,
at the end.
The whole thing with the three of them, it's like, I don't know. I guess that was appeasing a certain fan base. But then if you're appeasing everybody, where's Matthew Lillard? You know what I mean?
If you ask me, he's dead. So
I know. I agree. Like, if he was still alive, someone would have mentioned it at some point.
Yeah.
But I mean, they brought the other guy back in some way, you know, so why not him? You know, if you're going to do the full fan service, do the full fan service. Maybe I would appreciate that.
Maybe we'll see what they do for the next one.
I guess. Yeah. And then I don't know why was there like a calling it Scream again? What are they going to call the next one? Scream 2?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they were just trying to do what up. I think they were just trying to do what Halloween 2018 did, because they just called it Halloween.
Yeah, I get that.
So
I don't know, but it was 5 Cream. Yeah, they kind of messed that one up.
Yeah, it's Scream 5 to me. I'm not calling it Scream.
Yeah, I would have called it Scream if it was a new story, even if it was set in the same universe in a way. But it's like, it's Scream 5. It's a direct parallel to the other movies. It's not like a different, you know, it was directly a sequel and not like anything else. That's all I'm saying. I was expecting something a little bit farther removed, I guess.
Okay. That's fair. Well, we'll see what they do for Scream 6.
Yeah, I will probably buy it. I'll listen to the commentary. I'll try to figure it out. You know, I got to go watch some Easter egg videos. I'm sure they're out there.
Yeah. So going back to movie theaters, have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
Well, definitely the Blair Witch Project, as I was describing before, because it was a New York theater. I was young. We were sitting right up front. It was 100% sold out and you could hear a fucking pin drop and no one slept that night for sure. And then I have another one that's sort of the exact opposite, is that I saw Event Horizon. Have you seen Event Horizon? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw that when it came out and I was probably too young to be going to see it. In the middle of the day, where I was the only person in the theater. And that was really freaky too.
Yeah.
Because like the sound design, I think that's one thing you really miss probably at home, is the sound design of that movie is probably the scariest thing about it. And like just noises happening all over the place. And it was freaky.
Yeah. Have you been to a movie at a Regal yet that have like the 4DX where like the seats move and
I've heard about that, but I haven't done that. No.
It's kind of crazy. I saw
that seems a little too much. What if I'm trying to eat some popcorn and I'm just like, you know,
you do need seatbelts for these. That's what these seats are missing. I saw Scream 5 for a second time in one of these theaters, and it was just too much. I was like,
seems a little much. I mean, I'm all for a good gimmick, but like, I don't know, rattling me around my seat the whole time. Like, what? Give me an example of like what scene in that movie they effectively used the seat for. And how.
When Judy was like racing home to save her son, it was just like jerking like she was driving.
Yeah,
so
I don't
want to
feel seasick at a movie. I don't know.
Yeah,
I already drove there to begin with. Or in your case, in the city, I'd probably take the subway, which is worse. I don't miss the subway. I moved to the suburbs since the pandemic, but I'm close enough to drive in when I need to, and I have not missed the subways one bit.
Oh, I love that.
That's
the
real
subway.
Horror movie.
No,
really?
I don't like driving. I'm a bad driver.
That's fair. It was nice for like, I was there for like 15 years. I lived in Astoria, Queens, and I was like, hell yeah, no car. I can get wasted or whatever and not worry about it. And now I'm kind of the opposite again. I'm like, I can go anywhere I want and not just limited to the subways, and I don't have to wait.
Yeah.
At three, you know, I did a lot of jobs where I wouldn't be getting back to the subway till like 4 a.m. and then waiting for a half hour for the G train or whatever. I don't miss that.
Yeah. What has been your favorite horror movie that you've seen so far in 2022?
Like a new movie?
Yeah.
I think the only one I have seen that's new is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I don't, if I'd seen any others, I might not put that, well, that and Scream. So I was less disappointed with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre because I had no expectations for that. I didn't even know it was coming out until it was out already. So I was like, well, all right, I have Netflix or whatever it's on. I'll check it out. And I wouldn't say it's a good movie, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, they kind of got straight to the point.
Yeah.
And like, didn't let things like storylines or, you know,
character development
exactly get in the way of just crazy kills.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I know that's supposed to be like a direct sequel to the first movie. And there's like almost no blood in the first movie if you actually think about it. It's all in your head. Like, it's horrific for that reason. And so this one's like the complete opposite, but I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's what this is. At least they had fun with it.
Yeah.
That bus scene, oh my gosh.
Oh, God. Oh,
that was hilarious.
That was intense.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. At least finally there's a massacre in one of these Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies.
There you go.
And just to know, we have Bill Moseley, who's famous for playing Chop Top in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 in the documentary, talking about his love for Haunted Garage.
Oh, cool.
You probably know him from the Rob Zombie movies as well.
I've never seen any Rob Zombie horror movies. So, yeah. That's
well, then you would not know him from that. Most people would.
Yeah, most people would.
You've probably seen him. He's the guy with the white face. Not the clown, but like the guy with the white hair.
Okay. I'll look him up after.
Yeah.
What horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in 2022?
I don't even know what's coming out. I'm a bad horror movie fan. I'm like so wrapped up in catching up on the past that I don't even know what's current. What should I be looking out for?
Black Phone is coming out.
Is that Ethan Hawke one?
Yeah.
I'll watch an Ethan Hawke horror movie, sure.
Yeah. And then Halloween Ends is coming out.
Yeah. I haven't watched any of those new Halloween movies yet. And I'm a bad horror fan. I'm such a completist that I'm like, oh, well, I got to go rewatch number one and number two and whatever one else is associated with that first, you know, and I just haven't had the time to watch like 5 movies.
Well, for Halloween, it's just Halloween and then they skip to Halloween 2018. So
wait,
that's
not number two?
No.
It is not H2O?
Nope.
So it's just one and then the new ones?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's better. I've seen the first one enough times where I can just jump in.
Yeah, definitely.
what are those streaming anywhere? What are those?
I know Halloween Kills is on HBO Max, so
okay,
the
I
first
have that
one might be on there
cool.
too. I don't know.
Maybe that's what I'll do this weekend.
Yes. Awesome. Let me know what you think of them.
Yeah, because I heard you liked the first new one and not the second new one.
Yeah,
So what
true.
do you, is it the same director as those? Like, do you have new hope for this one, or what do you?
No, I'm gonna go into the last one with very low
So
expectations.
what I did with the
So,
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the best way to go with slasher movies. I mean, if he slashes people, I guess that's a win. If there's too much story, that's probably not good.
Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like?
Cloverfield.
Don't think that's one that people generally don't
Really? I don't
like.
know. The people who don't like it really don't like it. I think they're those people who get you, let's say you wouldn't want to be in the shaky seats for that one.
No, you definitely not.
Yeah. Or the Blair Witch Project, I think, gets the same kind of reaction. And I remember specifically when that came out, either people really loved it or they really didn't get it at all and didn't think it was scary at all. And I'm like, well, then you have no imagination. They were like, The Sixth Sense was so scary. I'm like, no, Blair Witch was scary. It was like a competition because they were both in theaters at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'd say those. I guess it's a found footage thing. I love those movies, and people hate them for the reasons that I love them, I guess.
If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
Oh, I feel like I had an answer for this, and now I forgot what it was. Something that wasn't good in the first place. You know,
Yeah.
like I'm tired of them remaking classics because it's a name already. It's like, no, what you should be remaking are good ideas that didn't come out good enough. Let's see if I can pick one from over here. Well, I know they're supposed to do some sort of requel to the Sorority Babes in the Slimeball Ballorama. Fuck. Let me come back to that one. I'll think about it.
So my last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
Right. That's another one I didn't quite think of. Oh man, they're all gonna kill me. So I mean, I don't know how long I would last anyways. Are
Would
there
be the
any
most fun?
like female horror villains? Because I can only think of creepy men with masks. You
Don't
ever
know if
see
she's
May?
no,
I would
but
maybe I'll pick that
yeah,
one and
I
hope
it's on
that
my
she
watch
doesn't cut
list.
my limbs off. Yeah, definitely watch that one. It's
Okay.
awesome. I'm gonna go with May, even
All
though I probably wouldn't feel that way after like 5 minutes.
All right, do you know which horror movie you'd want to
Right.
remake? First thing that pops into your head, what is it?
Oh God, what's a bad horror movie that really needs to be rebooted? Well, it's not really a horror movie, but I was talking about this on a different podcast. It's sort of horror adjacent, I guess. But there's this movie Dookie was in called, it's a trauma, you know, Trauma. It's called Surf Nazis Must Die. And it's one of the best movie titles of all time. But the movie's not that great. So I think it's, especially in this political climate, like this would be a good reboot right now.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly a horror, but I'm gonna have to go with Surf Nazis Must Die.
Well, it's about Nazis, so that's pretty horrific.
Yeah, and they must die. And if
Yeah.
you don't like that, well then fuck you.
Definitely agree. Fuck you if you don't like, if you don't hate Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know,
Well,
probably there's probably some horror movie about abortions out there that should be remade now too, because that's the real horror story going on. But we don't have to get into that. But that would be also prime time for some scary scenarios.
yeah,
And
definitely.
the scary scenarios is real life.
Yeah. Donate to your local Planned Parenthood chapter.
Yes. Yes. Do that first and then to my documentary.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell
Thank
everyone where they
you.
can find you and
Yeah. DookieDoc.com or at DookieDoc, DukeyDoc, or you can just find me, Kevin Von Esper, VonEsper. I'm really easy to find. VonEsperStudios.com is my photo video company. And I think that's everything. I'm real easy to find.
all right. Awesome.
Probably in
Well,
the links below.
yes, I will leave links to all of that in the show notes. And
Excellent.
good luck with the documentary. I can't wait
Thank you
to
so
see it when
much.
it's done.
Yes, I'm honored to be here with you. And I'm glad to be talking to someone on the East Coast. Everyone I'm talking to is in California or somewhere else. I wonder if we've crossed paths before when I lived in the city somewhere.
I know. Who knows? Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the subway.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a good one.
Thank you. Have a good night.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Kevin Von Esper, and thanks again to Kevin for coming on. I'll leave links to all of his socials and info on his Dookie Fly Swatter documentary in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter at Who's There Pod. We're on Instagram at Who's There Podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Till next time, stay scary and get vaccinated.